Genesis chapter 24, and we'll read at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Now come down this chapter, please, to verse 52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Now the book of Numbers, please, in chapter 10. And reading verse 28. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Now over, please, to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And reading, please, at verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now God will bless to us what we have been hearing tonight and these portions of his word that we have read together. And I trust God will give a little help to speak about the things that are on our mind in connection with these scriptures we have read. What I think we have brought before us here are three entreaties. We have the entreaty of that servant, which would be a picture to us today of the work of the Holy Spirit of God that would seek to bring men and women and boys and girls to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then we have read of the entreaty, we might say, of Christians. Here was the question that was asked this man, Hobab. Moses said, Come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel, concerning his people. And certainly, we can invite you to come because we know that God has spoken good concerning his saints. Wonderful future for the people of God. Hobab said, I will not go. Then we have read of the entreaty of the Savior himself when he said, Follow me. And there were those who said, I will follow thee, but first, let me. One, it was to bury his father. Another, it was to go and say farewell to those that are at home. Always seemed to be something else coming first. And while the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for those who will follow him, who will become humble followers of the man who died for their sins at Calvary, unfortunately, there are many people who are saying, Let me first. I have things to do that I think are more important than the matter of my soul's salvation, and they're going to miss the blessing. The Lord Jesus said, No man, having put his hand to the plow and turning back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, friend, there's no one ever going to get into heaven until they make up their mind, I'm going to get this matter settled. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I would like to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that all is well with my soul. Now, if you've anything else that means more to you than the salvation of your soul, I can assure you that you will never, never get your soul saved for eternity. When the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of your soul for eternal ages, when that comes first in your life, and you want that more than anything else, God will see to it that you get salvation if you're honest with him. I want to go back for a few minutes to Genesis chapter 24. To me, this is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Word of God that we have in the Old Testament of the work that is going on today. While God is seeking to gather out of this ungodly world of sinners that are bound for judgment and hell, a bride for his son. And that work is ongoing. And tonight, while we're preaching the gospel here, in many parts of the world today, there are souls that are coming from darkness into God's marvelous light. There are souls that are coming from the grasp of Satan into the family of God. There are souls that have been bound for the judgment of God, and they're coming by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to a salvation that will fit them for heaven and give them a life that is eternal. I hope there will be some in our present gospel meeting, and like others in this world, you will make your choice for Christ, because tonight, when we speak about following the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a matter of I will or I won't. I will or I won't. Because when you boil it all down, it's a matter of the will. What do you really want? Do you want this life with what it has to offer? Or do you want Christ as your Savior? Do you want this life with its pleasure and with its financial gain and with its fun and with all that it has to offer? Or do you want a life that is going to go on forever in heaven above with the saints of God and to reign with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, that's what I'm going in for. And I thank God 53 years ago, 54 years ago. Now, I found the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. We'll tell you about it in the will of the Lord on Monday. But listen, friend, I started for heaven and glory. And we're on the side, on the winning side. And we've got eternity ahead of us to enjoy the blessings of God. It really doesn't matter what happens in this ungodly world, because our future is assured. Friend, what about you tonight? If I will, or I won't. The history of Isaac is very interesting. We haven't time to go into the details of it, but if we were to have gone back to Genesis chapter 22, we would have found there how Isaac with his father went up onto Mount Moriah, and that sacrifice was going to be made upon the mountain. And as they walked up the mountain together, Isaac could see that his father was carrying the knife and the fire, and he knew that on his back was the wood for the sacrifice. No doubt many a time he'd seen his father make a sacrifice. But as they walked up the hillside, he said to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Because there had always been a lamb. There had always been a victim on the altar whose blood was shed to satisfy God, because as we've been hearing, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Where is the lamb? Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And I don't suppose Abraham knew what was going to transpire on that mountain when he said those words, but they were prophetic. And friend, there was a time when God sent his son from the glories of heaven to be the lamb that would shed his blood upon Calvary. There was a substitute found for Isaac on Mount Moriah. There was no substitute for God's beloved son. But in picture, Isaac was upon the altar, and Abraham received them again, just as though he'd come from the dead, because he was willing to obey the voice of God and to have slain his son. God didn't require that. Of course, we know, those of us who are saved, we know that God wanted Abraham's heart. He wanted to know where Abraham stood. But Isaac, as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was taken off that altar, was a picture of God's beloved Son, who died for sinners upon Calvary and shed his precious blood. No substitute for him. He became the substitute for sinners, the substitute for you, the guilty one. Jesus died upon the cross to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And all the fury and rage of a holy God against sin, it fell upon the person of his blessed Son. John puts it this way when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so, Abraham desires a bride for his son. Eliezer is called. He's named in other places, though he's just called the servant here. And that servant is called, and Abraham said, "I want you to go and look for a bride for my son Isaac." He said, "I don't want you to bring my son thither again, but," he said, "I want you to go to that land where I came from." Like the world round about us, where those of us who are saved have come from, a world of sin, a world of idolatry, a world that is reeling on to judgment. That "I don't want you to take my son back there again." The Lord Jesus Christ is never going to come back to Calvary to suffer. You know what's happening? Just as Abraham sent Eliezer away down to that land to search out a bride for his son Isaac, God has sent His Holy Spirit into the world, and the Spirit of God is in this gospel meeting tonight, and He's in the world to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and He's here to try and win a bride for His heavenly, for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Isaac. Tonight, friend, what God is looking for are those who will be willing to take their place with the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of the bride of the Lamb. Oh, that happened to me. I better not tell it all to you tonight. We're going to tell it on Monday, but friend, listen, wonderful thing to become acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of that bride, that heavenly bride. We're going to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ eternally. But when I think of this, here's the servant, and what is he doing? Oh, he's come to the place, and he's found that young woman, and God has directed him to the one that he is to get for Isaac. And oh, I wonder if God has directed us these thousands of miles to come here to preach the gospel to some soul, that he would have to be part of his bride tonight. Already God has reached and saved a soul by his grace that is going to be part of the bride of the Lamb forever. Are you going to be part? Are you going to miss out on it? Abraham, Eliezer begins to describe the glories of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is going to come into all the wealth of his father Abraham. Isaac is going to come into the wonderful promises that God has made about his seed being as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven for multitude. Rebecca, would you like to be part of that household? Would you like to be the bride of Isaac? And he presents her with those tokens of his goodness. I want to tell you, friend, you've received the tokens of God's goodness. You know what it says? The apostle tells us that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. And God in His goodness has spared you to this present time. And God has blessed you. And God has given you an opportunity here that many thousands in the world don't have tonight, to sit under the sound of the gospel and hear of a man who died for sinners on the cross that can fit them for heaven and save them from hell. What a privilege. Rebecca listened to the servant telling about the glories of Isaac and then saw some of the tokens of the wealth that would be his. Because he was Abraham's son. And I believe that as that man described Isaac to those that were gathered that day, that young woman's heart was won to Isaac. He thought, this is a man that I would like to know. Oh, I tell you, when you find out, friend, that the one who died for your sins upon the cross was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't you like to know him? I tell you, he's worth knowing. That friend that sticks closer than a brother. That one who gave his life for us at Calvary and is now living for us at God's right hand in heaven. But they said, well, it sounds okay to us, it sounds right. This thing is of God. And we think this will likely work out all right. But they said, don't be in a hurry to go. Why, tarry for a little while, 10 days at least, servant said, "Hinder me not. Hinder me not, seeing that I have found a bride for my master." And they said, "Well, we'll call the damsel and we'll ask her." I know this. We've been hearing of hindrances tonight. Anything that would hinder you that's as dear as your hand, as dear as your foot, as dear as your eye, my friend, let it go. There's nothing worth losing your soul in hellfire for. I don't care what it is. We could tell you of many who have lost things because lost friendship, lost jobs, lost family, because they chose Christ. But friend, far better to let anything and everything fall to one side than to miss the greatest blessing that heaven could bestow upon you, and to become a Christian, to become one that belongs to Christ. Oh, I know it costs something to be a Christian. I mean a real Christian. People think we're Christians because we live in a land that's called Christian. My friend, a lot of nonsense. You're not a Christian unless you belong to Christ. Unless there's been a moment when you bow your stubborn will and you acknowledge, "Oh God, I'm a guilty sinner, but I see that Jesus died for me on Calvary," and you trusted Him as your Savior. Then you become one of Christ's own, because He paid for you at Calvary. Call the damsel. We'll ask her what she says about it. Rebecca steps forward. "Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man?" I want to ask you tonight, friends, wilt thou go with this man? On this side of the building, is there a soul here? Wilt thou go with this man? The man that died for you at Calvary? This side, wilt thou go with this man? What's the hindrance? I don't believe there was a moment's hesitation when Rebecca heard the question, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Immediately came the response, "I will go, I will go." Oh friend, there came a time in my life when I said to the Lord Jesus, said to the God of heaven, "I will go." Is that your response tonight? You could be saved tonight. It's a matter of the will. I will or I will not. God has made that plan so simple. God has made it so easy for you to enter into the joy and peace of sins forgiven. Oh, you say, "It seems so hard for me. I can't seem to understand it." You're ready to set everything else to one side. Take God at His word, you can get God's salvation. We often hear those words, "Oh, how unlike the complex works of man, God's easy, artless, unencumbered plan. It stands like the cerulean arch we see, inscribed, majestic in its own simplicity, inscribed upon the portal from afar, conspicuous as the brightness of a star, legible only by the light they give, stand the soul-quickening words, believe and live." And friend, tonight it's believe and live. It's take Christ as your Savior. It's saying, "I will go, I will go." My old companions, we were singing, "Fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go, I will go." Oh, is there a soul down here will say, "I will go, I will go. I'm finished with the world. I'm satisfied. There's nothing in it to satisfy." I know that from experience. Down this side, is there someone, and you'll say, "Yes, I will go, I will go. Finished with the world. Satisfied with Thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed." Salvation can be yours tonight if you're willing. Hobab, Moses' father-in-law, very close to Moses. Moses had lived with him for 40 years. There was a close relationship there. But now Moses is leading the children of Israel across to the land that God has promised. And friend, tonight we're traveling home to heaven above. We've been singing, "Will you go? Will you go?" Moses said to Hobab, "Come with us, and we will do thee good." Why? Because God has spoken good concerning his people. And I want to tell you tonight, we're not asking you to join the gospel hall. We're not asking you to sign a pledge. We're not asking you to become part of something you don't know anything about. We are asking you tonight if you'll come as we have come to the Savior of men and started for heaven and glory. Come with us and we will do thee good. For God has spoken good concerning his people, and friend, it's wonderful on before heaven with all its glories, with the person that died for us on Calvary, and all eternity to praise the man who gave himself a ransom for us to save us from hell. Will you come? Hobab said, "I will not go. I will not go." There's the two sides of it. I will or I will not. What are you going to choose tonight? Here were men and they thought they would like to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I'm a homeless stranger in this world my hands have made." And the Lord Jesus was wending his lonely, pilgrim-weary way to Calvary to provide salvation. Some of them said, "I will follow thee. But first, let me. Oh, friend, listen, there's no buts tonight. If you would like God's salvation, it's tonight or never. It's now or never. You say, but what? But I have friends. My friend, don't let your friends keep you from the blessing of God. You say, but I have a financial engagement that I've got to attend to, and then there are souls that are down in hell tonight because of that little word, but. They allowed something to come in between them and the salvation of their soul for eternity. "I will follow thee, but let me first." Me first? My friend, it's all or nothing at all for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants your all. And if you're not willing to set everything else to one side and take him as your Savior, then let me tell you that you will never get God's salvation. No man having put his hand to the plow and turning back. That's what it means. No man who decides he would like to be saved. No young man or young woman, no older person who decides God's salvation is the right thing. I would like to have it, but not just now. Oh, that goes much. I'm afraid there's someone in our meeting tonight. You're going to lift your eyes in the torments of God's eternal penitentiary. And you're going to say, "If I had just forgotten that what. If I had just left that thing, put it to one side, made up my mind, here and now, I'm going to get God's salvation. I'm reminded of a young woman. That young woman, her mother, who was a Christian, got into a wrong relationship. She married an unsaved man. I want to tell you, it can have some sad consequences. I could tell you the story of an aunt of mine. I'm not going to do it now. But this young woman, her mother tried to instruct her when she was younger in the very things that we're telling you tonight about the man that died for sinners on the cross. But when she got a little older, her father said, now I want you to, it's time for you to get out and get into the social world. And he introduced her to dancing lessons and to parties and to all these things that the world has to offer. One thing and another. And then one day, that young woman, for she had grown into her late teens, she took suddenly very ill. The doctor had examined her. He came several times, actually. And that young woman, the doctor had to tell the parents, he said, there's nothing we can do for your daughter. Your daughter is dying. This was a number of years ago. He said, do you want me to tell the girl or do you want to tell her yourself? The father said, we'll tell her. And that father, brokenhearted, went into his daughter's bedside. He cradled her head in his arms and he said, my darling daughter, he said, I have bad news. She said, what do you mean, Father? He said, my darling, the doctor says you're not going to get better, you're going to die. But she said, Father, you have a bit of money. Can't you get some other doctors? Can't you try somewhere else or try something else? Father said, the doctor said, that doesn't matter who we get or who we try. There's nothing can be done. You're dying. He said, Father, I want to ask you a question. He said, when I was a little girl and growing up, Mother told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for sinners, how that if I came as a child to the Savior, if I believe that Jesus died for my sins upon the cross, I could be saved and go to heaven. She said, when I got a little older, Father, you said not to worry about that, to get out into the world, and you gave me dancing lessons and introduced me to society and all the things that would make a person enjoy this world. She said, Father, she said, whose advice will I take now? That poor brokenhearted father, with tears running down his face, he said, for the sake of your father and mother and the God of heaven, he said, take your mother's advice. Take your mother's advice. That young woman went out into eternity. As far as we know, never got her mother's advice, never trusted Christ. Whose advice will you take now? Are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to trust Him? Are you going to go your own way? Rebecca said, I will go. Oh, I wonder, is there a soul here tonight? And that's the language of your heart. I will go. I was going to give out that hymn at the close that our brother gave out at the beginning. It doesn't make any difference, friend. The truth is the same. Will you go? Will you go? My old companions, we quoted fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. Is that your language tonight? I will go. Do I hear some sinner say, I will go? Or do I hear the words of Hobab? I will not go. Oh, you say, I wouldn't want to take a stand one way or the other. What about the entreaty of the Savior? Follow me. Will you follow him? Will you take him as your Savior? Or is it me first? When I've done what I want to do, then I'll settle it. May God help you tonight to flee to Christ. To come. Come make thy choice. For life or death eternal. Christ to the world. The Father's home or the abode infernal. Unending joy or sorrow, choose today. Come make thy choice. It may be now or never. 'Tis worse than madness longer to delay. Now is the hinge of all the vast forever. Tomorrow never cometh. Choose today. Come, make thy choice. God waits for thy decision. Oh, wilt thou not, as conscience bids thee say, I will, I do despise the world's false vision. For the cross of Jesus, choose today. I will go. Will you go? Will you go? God help you to choose Christ tonight for his name's sake. So we pray. Our Father, we come to thee with thanksgiving for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the simple way of salvation. We pray, Father, that there might be someone in our company tonight who will make their choice for the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, that there might not be any hindrance to sinners coming to the Savior. We've been reminded, Father, that there are those things that would keep a soul from Christ. Grant, Lord, that there might be someone in our company, a young person, Father, a young man or a young woman, or perhaps an older one, Father, who has seen that there is nothing to life to satisfy, that they might come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only enjoy salvation from their sins, from death and hell, but to enjoy the eternity of bliss with thy beloved Son, forever and ever. We commend us to thee, we ask thy blessing. Save precious souls with the careful Father to give thee the praise, the honor and the glory, we ask it in the name, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.